Hey Sedbury, Dave Kurt, broker of record with Lake City Realty, coming at you with another episode of the Sedbury Real Estate Podcast. I keep on having to apologize. I took another couple weeks hiatus. I was in Jamaica. Those that are watching on YouTube right now can see that this tanned face feels extra fantastic. I know that we were able to escape that minus 40-ish or 35 or whatever freezing cold weather that we had in Sudbury, which felt absolutely amazing to be on a beach. I don't want to rub it in and make you guys jealous. But following that, I got back and we rushed all the way to Sault Ste. Marie for a hockey tournament. I didn't even get home. We were up in the Sioux with my oldest son with the Lake City Realty under 11 Walden hockey team. And my under 9 Lake City Realty other son was in Lefroy for a hockey tournament as well. But welcome back to another edition of my 5 Bullet Friday, where I love to share my thoughts and observations about the local Sudbury housing market on a weekly basis. Tiff Macklem, the head of the Bank of Canada, has done his best attempt at freezing interest rates, but the job cut numbers that just continue to come out on a Canadian and on a North American level, including the United States, show that the economy is just firing on all cylinders here. This has led to a lot of economic bears who have been projecting this coming recession to be continued to proven wrong with their overall projections. A lot of smart people are pointing to the fact that it's tough to have a recession when anybody who wants a job can get a job, and usually those jobs are actually pretty good paying jobs as well. An interesting time on a national level, that's for sure. On a local level, other than the families complaining about Netflix cracking down on people sharing passwords, which I've got a few of. I know that we had a few friends and family that were using our Netflix account by the sounds of it that had been turned off. It's been an interesting time. We had this freezing weather's kind of continue. It was warm and then cold again, which has led to a ridiculous amount of snow days in Sudbury in the last little bit. And then it just, again, which I touched on earlier, super, super proud. I was able to go. I coached all three of my kids' hockey teams, but I was up with my oldest son at the U11 hockey tournament in the Sault Ste. Marie Extravaganza hockey tournament, where the Lake City Realty Under 11 House League team took down the gold medal championship there in a tough-fought game against FCR, Coppercliff FCR there. So fantastic to see, and the kids had a blast, and I hope everybody's enjoying things on a local level. Next up, we got Family Day coming up. I know it's an exciting time. Just with our chaos, we're not doing anything major with my family over this long weekend, but I hope that you and your family are enjoying maybe skiing or getting outdoors or just having some fun time. What's happening on a local real estate level? That's what you guys are really here for, though. Our numbers are very flat. Sales have hovered close to the same numbers for the last 4 weeks as of conditional offers and total listings. All the while, the big bold prediction I had made that we're going to see a ramp up in new listings continues to be proven wrong. This week, we had 23 sales, 22 conditional deals, 16 of those 23 sales happened to multiple offers, 36 new listings for a total of 177 listings, which is almost identical to the last 4 weeks of the condition of total listings available in the marketplace. What are my 5 takeaways, though? Let's dive right into it. Takeaway 1, that the stat that looks almost identical week over week, the stats look almost identical week over week for the last 4 weeks straight. 20-some sales, 20-some conditional listings, new listings dropping a little bit, especially for the first week of February, but total listings staying almost identical between 177, which we find ourselves at this week, and a high of 181 over the last 4 weeks. This, again, goes despite my big prediction. We're going to see listings spike after Christmas and then continue to get higher and higher as we lead up to the spring marketplace. This is the summary of the markets that's fulfilled by supply versus demand. Little supply has put buyers in a corner and forced them to settle for what's available in the marketplace. Takeaway 2, what is going to stop bidding wars? Despite the pullback that saw our average monthly sale price come down over $100,000, reminder, in March 2022, we hit a monthly average sale price of $505,000, and in January 23, just last month, we were at 380,000, which is a massive drop in average sale price. There still remains an appetite for multiple offers. Buyers want what everybody else wants. And that's, and a lot of listings are real, and a lot of realtor listings are pricing the home for that, to create that environment as well. The real estate agents are pricing houses low in an attempt to build this extra chaotic environment where people are bidding to get into property, and there's multiple people. Now, the interesting thing is buyers say that they hate this strategy and are often frustrated and angry with, they find themselves swept up in it. But the listings that are priced appropriately at the what could be seen as good value, or even slightly above that, and building in some room for negotiation, they're the ones that find that there might be an initial good push, maybe a bunch of showings at first, but then crickets and no offers. Buyers are showing the property and we're saying, you know what, this is a pretty good deal. Well, they're saying, well, what's wrong with it? Why does nobody else want it? Why should I offer on it if nobody else thinks it's a good deal? It's this mindset that we're in that's leading to we reward multiple offer scenarios, and we almost punish those that are not finding themselves in that scenario. So as much as we hear that buyers are frustrated with the bidding war environments, 16 of the 23 houses this week saw sales at the listing price or above. Clearly, it shows that this strategy is still working. Takeaway 3 for the week. The point that plays off the last bidding war bullet point, despite the competition and the fact that so many of these houses are actually selling at listing price or over, this isn't the market of 2022. Buyers are cautious, and often these houses are selling at listing price or just slightly above, not the ridiculous premiums that we saw happen and play out in 2023. In addition, a lot of these offers that are getting accepted are not just accepted, you know, like with these crazy high price, giving the seller the exact closing date they want and no conditions. Often these multiple offers are coming in with conditions, financing conditions, home inspection conditions. I've even seen conditions of selling a house be accepted to multiple offers if the other offer was low. It's something completely different and foreign to be in a multiple offer situation this year than it was last year. And it just takes some education and some competence and some comfortable to deal with the marketplace that we're dealing with. Sorry about that. Takeaway 4 for the week. Listings aren't increasing like I thought they would, which has fueled the supply-driven... right now, what's happening is it's a supply-driven spike in the marketplace. But believe it or not, there are a ton of buyers shopping. We had a new Sudbury listing last week in the mid-400s, where we had 30 showings in the first few days. A renovated spot we did an open house at just last weekend in Uptown had 19 buyers come through the open house. I took 4 calls just this week from buyers who are taking steps to get ready to buy this spring. With the increase in rates and the shift in the market, I guessed that the number of buyers would completely pull back and crater this year. Well, that still could play out. The number of people shopping, at least window shopping at this time, is extremely strong. Typically, the buyers in the marketplace want nothing. Like, the buyers who are in the shopping are the buyers that were in the marketplace last year and found themselves and said they don't want nothing to do with the marketplace. They said the offers are too crazy. They don't want to be involved in this. Those are the buyers that sat on the sidelines and have only recently said, do you know what? Maybe now prices come down 100 grand. I'm ready to jump in. Even though payments are more than they were last year when you factor in 4.5% interest rates compared to 1.5% interest rates. The question I keep asking myself is, when this rush of buyers is done buying and ultimately find themselves in the marketplace, will they be replaced and replenished with a new pool of buyers that are going to be looking? Or will there be a lull in demand after these pent-up people that are sitting on the sidelines have purchased? That's the tough part to look at. But definitely what we find ourselves in right now is a supply-driven premiums in the marketplace. Takeaway 5, my last bullet point, I like to kind of do some projections on where does the market go from here. As earlier I said, the marketplace is best described as one that is fueled by supply. With total listings staying consistent about that 170s and an increase of buyers, we have seen the shift back towards putting power in the hands of sellers, believe it or not. I think we need to take a step back and take a better look at what's actually playing out with a few different aspects of the marketplace. First, the fundamentals of the marketplace. Payments are still up when we compare values this year compared to what the people were paying last year. Again, what I just said, like if you were buying a house at $400,000 this year at 4.5% or 4.8% or whatever you're getting compared to $500,000 last year at 1.5%, your payments are more than they were before and probably to the tune of a couple hundred bucks. We had FOMO. FOMO, fear of missing out. These buyers that thought, if I don't buy today, then I'll never be able to afford. That was at an all-time high, and that was a big part that pushed chaos of the marketplace to a place that was unhealthy. And I think that that's not really existing in this marketplace right now, which is a big positive, I think. The idea that buyers aren't feeling the pinch that if I don't buy this house today, then I'll never be able to afford a home. That getting rid of that from a marketplace is critical, and it has been a key in terms of not making things kind of get unhinged when it kind of keeps going forward. Despite some realtors, especially the TikTok realtors, attempt to bring that back in the marketplace. Buy now before rates go up and the chaos of the marketplace returns. And even if that is present, because of that might be even coming back slightly, that's found in Southern Ontario way more than you're finding it in Sudbury right now. The second and contrarian opinion to what the points above may be that we have a house-obsessed population. Not just people in Sudbury, people across Ontario and people across Canada. They spend more time on realtor.ca than they do with their kids and their family. People love looking at pictures of real estate. They love looking at the granite countertops and the cozy office spaces and how pretty the homes are and how decorated they are. This is what people obsess over. I think that if you get a group of people together for a dinner party, when we get back out there, we're in person now, we're at events. I was at a hockey tournament. Everybody wants to talk about the housing market. This is the number one thing people want to chat about. We are obsessed with not just the idea of real estate, we're obsessed with the idea of retiring on real estate. We're obsessed with the idea of the commoditization of real estate. And that is why I think that we are gonna fast forward any kind of price floor that we should expect to find. We're gonna find that much sooner because people's obsession with what real estate is. Real estate is not just four walls and a roof. That might be how our parents' generation looked at real estate. Real estate for people now is a vehicle to wealth. It's the idea of buying not just one, multiple houses so that they can rent out or cash flow on or whatever, but that they have something that they're going to hold for retirement so that they can retire someday. People see as being in the housing market is a luxury. Owning a house is it's a luxurious feeling that they can be part of this homeowner class. That's such a weird thought process and something that I don't think is healthy for Sudbury. I think that's, we're going to have people that can afford houses for a long time in Sudbury. But in people that come up from Toronto, it might be a foreign concept that, you know what, they could actually work two normal jobs and afford a house. You're telling me that a house is not $1.4 million and the idea of owning a house is something that is obtainable to people? Like, that's a weird thought process. But it's all stems back because we don't look at a house as a place to live. We look at it as a vehicle for wealth. Despite what you think about that, because I don't think that's a healthy thing, but I think that that's one thing. What's it going to take for Canadians to view a house just as a house again? I don't see that happening. I think that we are going to continue to have this thought process around housing as a vehicle to retirement as opposed to somewhere to live. And therefore, even when it shouldn't be pushed higher, and even when the marketplace shouldn't be strong, it's going to be strong because of that. Is the government of Canada helping here? Definitely not, because we're in a country that we need immigration. I think I heard a stat that it's like 1.7 kids for every couple, and not everybody out there is in a couple, and not every couple's having kids. So we're our population is reducing, and we're relying on immigration to continue to increase our numbers in Canada. So as we rely on that immigration to happen, that means that there's more people to buy the same number of houses. And sure, we're making attempts to grow the number of houses available, and Doug Ford's opening up these greenland belts, and you know, whether these developers are actually building or not building, or that you could read so much about private deals behind closed scenes between these developers. But we don't have the housing, the number of houses to support the population projections when we factor in immigration. But this is the government making changes that are going to make it harder to own a house in the future. I don't know what the answer is. I think that Tiff Macklem's done his best job he can, the head of Bank of Canada, to really to increase rates to the point where it's like, wow, you got to be serious about being in the marketplace now. Let's get away from the commoditization of real estate. And we saw a ton of investors that were buying in Sudbury really stop buying and pull back and say, do you know what? I can't make that duplex or that basement. I can't make that bungalow and out of basement apartment and make the numbers make sense. So we got people to stop looking at those as straight investment opportunities. And we welcome some of these first-time homebuyers back in the marketplace and people that were living with their parents. And like, that was a healthy thing to do. But with the job numbers coming out and our economy, like as much as we try to crater this economy, things are just healthy. Like we're in a really strong environment, economic environment. And again, if you want a job, you can get a job. There's so many openings and they're good paying jobs. It's not minimum wage jobs that are out there. So Tiff Macklem will probably be forced to make another interest rate increase, which should calm down housing and lead to more expensive mortgages. But again, we have that idea of house obsession in the background. Don't get me wrong. With all this being considered, I don't think we're headed to another COVID-like marketplace. I don't think that's going to happen for a long time. I'm 37 years old right now. I don't think in my lifetime we ever see a mid 1% interest rate again, sub 2%. I don't think from now until the time I die that we will ever see mortgages in the 2% rate or the under 2% again. Maybe we'll see 3%. Maybe we'll be high twos. But I don't think we're going to be seeing those kind of numbers. That was the abnormal time in the marketplace. Not now. Now, 4.5, 4.8, this is the normal time. This is what we have to get back to accepting as the standard. What does that mean overall? I would hope it means Sudbury's going to be, you know, slow, steady growth and, you know, flatlining and not some chaos in one way or another. But I really don't know. I think that as long as we can avoid that FOMO, we're going to avoid unnecessary increases, because super high increases lead to super high pullbacks, and that's what we've seen happen over the last little bit. That's my thoughts on the housing market this week, Sudbury. Hopefully you've enjoyed the last 17 or 18 minutes or whatever it's been with me on the mic. Thanks for following me. Thanks as always, guys, and we'll check in with you next week. See you later, Sudbury.